Marvin Windows and Doors in Truett and White, the professional builder's choice. We look through the window of baseball, and Bruce, I'm looking through this window. I don't like what I see out here. How are you today?
Hey, Bruce.
Good. Well, I'm not standing in line for a hat, so I think I'm ahead of the game.
No pun intended. Yeah. All right. Very good. Hey, what a week of Giants baseball, huh? And just baseball in general. My goodness. A new era is here. And, Bruce, get your thoughts about Michael Morse here. Tomlinson last night. Don't overlook him.
Right.
And then the 21-year-old has sparked the team.
Yeah, you know, it was a really interesting move they did with Arroyo because, you know, the news that Bumgarner had come down and it seemed like the whole season was falling apart and they just didn't wait. You know, they brought the kid up and to say the least, he's been magical through five games. I mean, he's just a good hitter. He's always looked like a guy who could hit in the majors. The power is a plus right now. And he's changed the whole mood. And Morse as well. It was good to see Morse get a sack fly last night. He took a pitch the other way, hit it pretty good to right. Morse is such a great addition. He's a tremendous guy. I just really hope he sticks because he brings so much joy to the team. He's such a great teammate, and he's so fun to watch. And, you know, then you get Tomlinson with those line drive base hits to right. I'll take him. The guy's a smart hitter. He runs like the wind, and so real good additions. They really changed the mood a little bit.
And how about this? Matt Cain goes tonight. He's had three tremendous starts in a row. You could argue, and I think you'd be correct, he's been the Giants' most effective pitcher. It's like hearkening back to the Zito year when he had the tremendous year of Vogelsong. What a shot in the arm for Matt Cain.
Yeah, once again, something, you know, totally unexpected. Almost everything that's happened has been unexpected, at least in terms of the timing of some of it. But, you know, if Cain has actually found it, I mean, what a massive plus with Bumgarner out. He's been very good. The breaking ball's been real sharp. He hasn't really shown any signs of, you know, just sort of losing that release point and the command, like, altogether, or all of a sudden grooving an 89-mile-an-hour fastball to a power hitter. He looks a lot like the old Matt Cain, so I guess his fingers crossed on that one.
Yeah, Bruce Jenkins from the Chronicle joins us on the Uma guest line. And with runners in scoring position over the last seven games, the Giants are 8-44. I tried to bait Marty a little bit, Bruce. I'll ask you, Ryan Braun, would you be interested in Ryan Braun? And you got to give something to get something. How bad would you want Ryan Braun on in this lineup?
I don't know if I'm desperate for Ryan Braun. He's a good power hitter. He's got a history of drug use and suspicion by the teammates. He did some things that weren't terribly cool regarding that. You know, who isn't on PEDs now? You really have no idea, but there's a little bit of a stigma there. I don't know. I'd like to see him ride it out with this Morse, Nunez. You got Arroyo. It's pretty solid at third now, maybe for 10 years. Who knows? But Braun doesn't excite me that much.
Okay.
Bruce, we had Rich Walsh on earlier talking about the young man from Africa. Of 1.6 billion, finally we have a player from the continent of Africa playing for the Pirates. Have you followed this story at all?
Wild.
Not terribly closely. I watched the highlights of his first game when he singled up the middle and, you know, he's almost crying at first base. It's such a great moment. He's got good speed. He looks like a ball player. I mean, that's about all I know about him so far.
Well, it's quite a story, and there's a good backstory to it. And, you know, obviously if you Google his name or go to YouTube, you'll see a lot about it. Gift Ngope, N-G-O-E-P-E. But the thing I want to bring up is in the history of baseball, baseball's always looked for labor, whether they've gone to Venezuela, Puerto Rico, Cuba, Colombia, Asia, wherever they've gone, Mexico. And when you think about it, I mean, there's a continent of 1.6 billion people who are athletes and, you know, who've shown they can play competitively in other sports. Why not baseball? And I would think maybe this is the next frontier for baseball.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about baseball. It's similar to basketball in that you can take it to another country, even if you're just picking up a stick and a rock, you know, for baseball. And people get it, and they like the idea of it. They like the idea of throwing the ball and catching it. You know, the NFL is the biggest joke I've ever seen in my life is trying to plant, you know, in London and maybe have a team over there permanently, which is just a complete joke. I mean, as if all the kids in Europe are going to start knocking heads and getting concussions when they're 8 years old. just pathetic. But the baseball, the ambassador quality of that, taking it to other countries, as you say, I mean, in Africa, I mean, God, the possibilities are just unlimited. There's been a lot of success in basketball there, and I think baseball is probably the next frontier.
Bruce, Washington this week just demolished Colorado.
Smoked
and, you know, it makes me think about Colorado and wondering how they're going to make it through 162. But Washington got a bad injury to Adam Eaton.
Yep.
And then the Mets won a couple of games. Did the Mets win today?
They two in a row. I don't know what the score is now, but you saw last night that Collins brought out Familia and put in a guy that had had success against Harper.
Yeah, but what's your take on the landscape of baseball a little bit? I think this week it was shaken a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, Washington is, to me, they're unstoppable. I mean, they lost Turner for a while. They didn't really break stride. Harper's off the charts. Worth Zimmerman's been incredibly dialed in. Mm-hmm. I think they can make up for the loss of Eaton. There's a lot of sort of discord around the Mets right now. That, you know, did they handle Cespedes properly and he hobbles off the field? Did they handle Matt Harvey properly? He says he wasn't ready for his last start, and Syndergaard's all grumbling about his tired arm. And I don't know. I don't see longevity in the Mets contention. I really don't. Washington has a far better club as long as they can get some short relief, because the lineup is just relentless.
A lot of interesting things this week involving Molina, Yadier Molina. Number one, the slide. Bruce, did you see the slide over him?
Boom.
Like Chris Coughlin?
It was incredible.
Oh, my God. That's probably going to inspire some more of that, and it could lead to some broken necks or who knows what. I mean, it was all kind of spontaneous. He knew he was going to leap over the guy. And then he kind of got a little bit of a push to make it into a perfect somersault, and it popped up, and it's one of the great plays of the year. I mean, it's not something you'd want to do a lot of, but it was really dramatic and really fun.
It was awesome. I mean, and you pretty much can thank the Scott Cousins Buster Posey incident for that, because I'd imagine in years past, if without that rule, he would have drilled Molina.
Yeah, and the years past, too. Yeah, you were expected, whether you're the catcher or the runner, you're expected to brace for a big-time collision. So, yeah, that rule has proven to be a lot more palatable than I thought at first.
Yeah.
It's a good rule, and now we're getting people taking to the air.
It was amazing. In all the years I've watched baseball, I've never seen anything like that. It's another
one.
Go to YouTube and take a look at that. Then last night, Yadier Molina, who I will say this, he's a Hall of Famer.
Of course.
I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. I don't care what his numbers are. He's a Hall of Famer. He picks the guy off third, so there's a walk, and now it forces the runner from second to third, who gets a third. And he kind of gets on the bag and takes a step off the bag to get ready for the next pitch. And Molina holds on to the ball from the pitcher and pegs it to third, like a rocket to third, and they pick him off. How about that?
Yeah, the guy was like 2 feet off the bag, but Molina just waited till he turned his back on him.
Yeah.
You know, because he wasn't going anywhere. He just kind of lollygagging there. He felt everything's cool, and with like zero margin for error, Molina nailed him. Yeah, he's having a great year. And like you say, I don't really do a lot of looking at the numbers anyway, because, you know, I try to follow baseball pretty closely. It's about all I do, but in terms of the Hall of Fame, I don't need any numbers on Molina.
No.
That guy is an absolute Hall of Famer.
No, absolutely, yeah. You don't need it for him. The Cardinals are playing better baseball. Lance Lynn has come back. Wainwright had a couple of good games. Martinez, and Rosenthal at the end of the game. All of a sudden, which looked like sort of a walkaway for the Cubs. And the Cubs, you know, they won today over Boston. But, you know, I just tell you, Bruce, there's something about the Cardinals that they're just always there.
Yeah, I hope that stays close. I mean, we don't really need a Cubs runaway. It's certainly possible, but a good tight race is great. And if it's the Cardinals, all the better, because that's one of the really good rivalries. Goes back, oh, God, how far does that one go back?
Yeah.
You know, to the early Civil War, you know. They were playing it right after the Civil War. You know, and I always enjoy how the Cardinals somehow managed to stay right there. They have a lot of transition lately. They changed personnel quite a bit more than they used to, but they're always the Cardinals. They're always dangerous. There's Matheny in the dugout and Molina catching and, you know, Chirko, and I mean, Colton Wong, all these guys, Piscotty, just good ball players, good heady ball players. They don't have the power that the Cubs have, but I think they'll hang in there for a while.
Yeah, I don't know if their infield defense is as good as it has been in years past. Matt Carpenter's over at first, if I'm not mistaken. But at any rate, they are the Cardinals. Bruce, I thought of you all Wednesday and Thursday when Julio Urias was announced he'd start for the Dodgers on Thursday of the day game. We all have our things. Marty has to give 40,000 fans their prize or their promotion. I have a thing for LeBron, and I think two things when I think of Bruce Jenkins. I think of Steph Curry's mouth guard, and I think of Julio Urias. So what'd you think of Urias on Thursday and that whole thing?
Well, I'm amazed he actually pitched. And every time the Dodgers say what they're going to do with Urias, and they don't do it. He's Julio probable, but he actually got out there and – and, you know, every moment the Dodgers baby him is great news for the Giants.
Yeah.
I mean, turn the kid loose, for God's sake. He's ready to go. He's ready to go eight innings. You know, monitoring the kid's innings is just – what good does it do when everybody has two Tommy John surgeries?
Right.
Seriously, this kid is – he's coming out of Mexico. He's ready to go. I'm not saying to throw him 130 pitches every fifth day, but he's ready to be in that rotation. You know, next thing you know, he'll go down to Triple-A or some God knows what, and – as they continue to protect him, but he's a special talent. I think what the Dodgers would really want to have happen is to have Kershaw, Hill, and Urias lined up for the postseason. That's three lefties, but three really, really good ones, and we'll see where it goes.
But, you know, still the story of this week is Christian Arroyo. Yeah. Anywhere you shake it, I think he's probably the baseball story of the week.
Huh.
Yeah, you know, it's such a classic scenario. I mean, he looks about 15 at times, and he's so enthusiastic. You know, I wouldn't say he's innocent. You know, he's been around. He knows what's what. But he's doing everything right. You watch him chatting up guys in the dugout. You know, he was really reluctant to go out and take a curtain call. You know, he knows his place in the game. He's on a team full of veterans. But meantime, you know, not so quietly, he's making a big, big difference.
Sure.
And it's just a kick. It's really, really fun. I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, when Will Clark came onto the scene, that changed everything for the Giants. And all of a sudden they had this monstrous hitter in there. And I tell you, this kid's his right-handed swing is a real thing of beauty, man. It's tight, it's compact, it's a quick bat. He can go the other way, and I don't know. I just can't see him moving off third for quite a while.
No, I agree with you. I think he may hit third. Honestly, the
yeah.
way he hits, and of course,
yeah.
it's asking a lot for the kid now.
Yeah.
No one's knocked him down yet. He hasn't seen a steady diet of off-speed stuff, you know, and then a big fastball. So he's got a long way to go, but it's quite a week for him, I will tell you that.
Yeah, it woke everybody up. It's like the season has just now started and
yeah.
he's here.
Yeah, I felt that way Wednesday night. I said, all right, we spotted everyone 20 games. Now let's play.
Yeah, man, you know, the beauty of the game, and we always talk about this, is there's so much time left, and they can easily overcome all the misery that they've had. And as I've said before, to me, the division race is going to be really tight with four teams. I really do believe that. It's hard to put too much faith in Arizona and Colorado, but I think maybe this year might be a year that you really have to respect those teams. And I'd love to see it. I'd love to see a four-team race all the way. And you know, if that happens, the Giants are definitely going to be in it.
No doubt. Bruce Jenkins joins Marty and Pat. We're at the Public House. Bruce is down in Half Moon Bay. And a little nostalgia for you on the way out, Bruce, as we had Stephen Travers on earlier. He's written a book called Remembering the Stick, Candlestick Park, 60 to 2013. And we just threw it out there on Twitter and getting a lot of reaction. Your two most profound memories of the stick, for me, the catch, the quake. A lot of people coming in with some great nominees. How about you off the top of your head? What are the two biggest memories from Candlestick for you?
Well, I always go back. I mean, the earthquake is a real obvious one. I was in the upper deck, and you never forget that. From a playing standpoint, Will Clark's single up the middle off Mitch Williams was a moment for the ages. That's chilling just to think about today. And the classic Bob Brenly game where he made four errors in an inning and then methodically got the team back and then won the game with a home run. That was just some baby Roger Craig Giants in a nutshell. Those are two that come quickly to mind.
I was there for all of them.
You were?
Well, the earthquake.
Sure.
The Bob Brenly game.
Yeah.
And the single up the middle.
Wow.
And Hank Greenwald's call is still one of my favorites of that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's good.
Absolutely.
All right, Bruce, glad to hear from you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Bruce.
That's good, guys. Take care.
All right, that's a great Bruce Jenkins.
Yeah.
Huh?